One of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah is to learn the Torah. This lady points out that we shouldn't think that it's only a hechsher mitzvah. We have to learn the laws of kashrus in order to know how to be kosher. You have to learn the laws of Shabbos in order to be an observant Jew, to observe Shabbos. The women are mechuyev to learn the dinim as a hechsher mitzvah. But the men have, as an independent mitzvah, a mitzvah to learn Torah, a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, even to learn those areas of halacha which are not relevant halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh. Like we live in Chutz La'aretz, so we have an obligation to learn even Seder Zroim, and even to learn Seder Taharos, which are not relevant to us. So a mitzvah b'fnei atzma to learn Torah. A lot of people make a mistake. They think that when people are younger and the age that they're students, so they go to elementary school, they go to high school, they go to college and graduate school. So when they're students, so they have to study Torah as well. But once they graduated already, so they're not students anymore. So there's no longer an obligation to learn Torah. Unless you're a rabbi, so you have to learn, and you have to tell the balabatim when you say tachnon, when you say b'urachum. Unless you're a rabbi in a yeshiva, so you have to learn in order to prepare to teach for the students. So this is a mistake. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah applies to everyone. The Rambam says it applies to wealthy people, to poor people, healthy people, sick people, even the day a person dies. A person is obligated to learn Torah all of his life. For quite a few years, the Catholic cardinals used to come to New York to visit, to meet with the Reform and the Conservative rabbis. The Orthodox never wanted to participate in the meetings. And after all those years, they came to the realization that the Reform and the Conservative don't really represent Judaism. And they want to meet with the real McCoy. So the last couple of years, they insist on meeting with the Orthodox. So a few years ago, when they had a meeting over here, they met with the rabbis the morning that the Daf Yomi was going to make the Siyum HaShas that night. So they met with different Rabbanim and certain members of the board of the yeshiva. Mr. Joel was there. So I remember Julie Berman is the chairman of the board of the yeshiva. And he is a lawyer. He has smicha. He learns. He gives a shiur in his shul every Shabbos and Mishnah Brura and Parshas HaShavua. He gives shiurim. And he learns a lot. So he was explaining to the Galochim. They didn't understand what Talmud Torah was. He explained to the Galochim that the Jews all over the world learn Daf Yomi. He explains what it is, 2 pages in the Talmud, and it takes 7.5 years and you finish everything. And the overwhelming majority of the people who are participating in the Siyum today, he tells them what the Siyum is, Madison Square Garden. The overwhelming majority are going to be lawyers and doctors and dentists and engineers and Indian chiefs. They're not going to be rabbis. Most of them are not rabbis. By us, the mitzvah Talmud Torah is not miyuchad for the Galochim. They never heard anything like this, so they said they wanted to participate. So they had come to the yeshiva with their whole rigmarole. Some of them didn't wear the whole thing, but they wore a little tzelem. So he said, we can get you seats, but you can't come in dressed up like this. So they came in dressed up like clothes, plain clothes, galochen, and they were swept away. They never heard of such a thing, that Talmud Torah is for everybody. There's a comment that the Medrash has on the Pasuk Torah Tzivalana Moshe Marasha Kihilas Yaakov, that the Torah is a Yerusha that belongs to the whole Jewish people. That a farmer once walked into the Beis HaMedrash of Rav Priya and he started screaming that the rabbi is a ganav, he stole my Yerusha. So the people didn't know what he was talking about. He wasn't related to Rav Priya. So he said, the Torah is a Yerusha for all of us. Why are you hoarding the Torah? Give me my share of the Torah. He's right, the Torah belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. Everybody's obligated to learn Torah. I remember on a different occasion when the I used to daven in the other base medrash, the big base medrash. So I was sitting and learning with my talis and tefillin on. I usually used to learn till around 10:30, then I would go home to have breakfast. So Rabbi Blau announced that the cardinals are coming into the base medrash. Everybody, mind your own business. Just ignore the fact that they keep on learning. So the guys kept on learning. So I was very upset, so I took off my tassel and I went home. I didn't want to be around when they came. So they told me afterwards what happened. Rabbi Chalap spoke in public afterwards. He told over what happened, that they're trying to figure out the deep secret over here. How come in Europe, anyone who goes to university doesn't go to divinity school? Out of the question. How come? It's a contradiction. How come over here we have a college in a yeshiva, a seminary in the same building? How can it be? By them it's a contradiction, by us it's not. So there are many terutz possible. The simple terutz is that the true religion is not the same as a false religion. The true religion was given by the Bar Yolam, who created the world. So you study all the sciences, there's no contradiction between science and religion. If Avodah Zarah is all man-made, the whole thing is made up, yesh me'ayin. So of course it's going to be in contradiction with reality. That's a simple terutz. Od yesh lama, you don't need more terutz. Od yesh lama, who wants to be celibate? The shugad daf mazai. Become a galach, you can't get married. It's not normal. Od yesh lama, some of them have to take an oath of poverty. Who wants to be poor? Sure, by us, there was never, he never praised poverty. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "Kachi darkei shel Torah pas v'melech toichel." My mom swore tishtes, and most of the Mefarshim on the Mishnah don't say that the Mishnah is praising poverty. The Mishnah is saying, even if you're very poor, and even if all you have to eat is pas v'melech, you still have to learn Torah. But we never praised, we never thought that poverty is such a wonderful thing. In recent years, there are a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael who picked up this notion from the Christians, but this was never a Jewish notion. Rabbi Mechabed Ashirim, Rabbi was a very wealthy man. He didn't, the Gemara says, he used to have everything on his table. He was the chief rabbi. His home was beautiful. He had chandelier and drapes and carpets and everything. And he didn't eat any of that stuff. He said his fingers were never inanimate, olam hazeh, just enough in order to stay alive. But he was a wealthy man. And Rabbi used to be Mechabed Ashirim. He felt that if min ha-shamayim, the man is wealthy, must be a reason. There must be a reason why they gave him wealth. And Shulchan Aruch says like that, you're allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema, m'pnei ha-kovid, m'pnei ha-yiros, and m'pnei ha-kovid means m'pnei ha-shirim. Fenoshe walks in, so you say good morning in the middle of Kriya Shema, but dibar tabam, to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. So that's some of the Catholics, some of the galochim have to take an oath of poverty. So that's many answers. Why by us there's no contradiction, by them there is a contradiction. Somehow they don't want to hear any of these answers. They think their religion is a true religion, whatever. I don't know what they think. So somehow they came upon an einfall that is the Chavrusa system. That's the secret to our success. If they would introduce a Chavrusa system in their seminaries, there wouldn't be any contradiction. They'd be able to have all the people who go to university would join the seminary also. So they came to the yeshiva trying to figure out what our secret to success is, the Chavrusa system. So they're gonna try to see what the Chavrusa system is all about. So they came to the base manager. Rabbi Blau told the boys, mind your own business. Make believe that they're not here. So the guys were learning, and they were screaming at each other. And one guy says this, one guy says, you know what you're talking about? Screaming back and forth, back and forth. Apparently one of these galochim walked over, and he said, he taps the guy on the shoulders, and he says, excuse me. So the guy was so startled, he didn't realize that they were listening to him. The rabbi Blau said, mind your own business. Ignore everybody who's here. So he says, yeah, what is it? So he says, I'm listening in for the last few minutes. And you're getting so animated, you're getting so angry. What are you getting so excited about? So the kid tells him in English, he says, we have a commandment. He's translating everything. We have a mitzvah, we have the Torah, and everything has to make sense. So there's a passage in the Talmud that doesn't make sense, so you got to ask all the questions. So we asked all the questions, then we got to try to suggest an answer. Everything has to make sense. So my partner suggested an answer, and I don't think it makes any sense. We have to fight it out until it makes sense. So the Galach says, wow, in our religion we're not allowed to ask any questions. That's what learning is all about. You have to ask all the questions. Everything has to make sense. They have the story. There's a volume that's called Chutam Shulosh. It has the biographies of the Rebbe Akiva Eger, who was the father-in-law of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer had three wives, one after the other. The first two wives died. And so Rabbi Kivega's daughter was the second wife. He was a year younger than Rabbi Kivega, and he died a year after Rabbi Kivega. They lived the same short life, not so long. I've already outlived. They didn't live to my age. He was a year younger than his father-in-law, died a year after. So and then some sofer had a lot of children, so one of his children took over the Rabbanis. The Ksab sofer took over the Rabbanis in Presburg after the Chassam sofer died. So this is a biography that's written by one of their grandchildren of the Chassam Sofer about the three generations, about Rabbi Kiveger, the grandfather, and about the Chassam Sofer, and about the Ksav Sofer. So they have there the story that they all had in the family, that when Chassam Sofer was bar mitzvah, So he said pshetl, he said his own pshetl, and he said an original shikul term. So he said over something from the Elta Zeta on the side of the Gemara, every so often they tell you Ayin Kos Yeshuas, sometimes says Ayin Kosos Yeshuas. These are two different svarim. I've never seen either of them. They're both on the Zikin. Amudin Setecha Kos Yeshuas Chachmas Vadas. So the Gemara says in Shabbos that those are the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. So Yeshuas corresponds to Nezikin. So there's one sefer on Nezikin that's called Kos Yeshuas. And I think the one by the Elta Zeta of the Chassam Sefer is called Kosos Yeshuas, if I'm not mistaken. They said there was something from Elta Zeta, and he ripped it apart and he showed that it was wrong. So his father, the Chassam Sefer's father, was a religious balabos, but he wasn't that learned like his son. So he slapped him in public and he said, Chutzuf, how do you have the chutzpah at the age of 13 to disagree with Elta Zeta? It was such a great guy. So the Rebbe of Chassam Sefer was there of Nos Nadla. He lived in Frankfurt also. So he says to the father, why did you slap your son? The kid is right. The Elta Zeta is wrong. The kid knows what he's talking about. So he encouraged the young child, the Chassam Sefer, to leave his parents' home. He said, if you're going to stay by your parents, every time you're going to ask Kakasha and Rashi, your father's going to slap you. You're going to say, Ashvera Rambam, Ashvera Gemara. Your father's going to slap you. You'll never be able to grow in learning. That's how you grow in learning. You have to ask Kashas. And if it doesn't make sense, you have to keep on asking until it makes sense. So he left. He left this. It's a very strange thing, very strange chunk of history. Chassam Sefer, at the bar mitzvah age, left his parents' home. He lived in the same city. He stayed by his Rebbe all the time. He didn't marry the Rebbe's daughter. The Rebbe had a daughter, but they weren't the right age for each other. She didn't marry the Chassam Sefer. He married someone else. It's interesting, in the middle of the Second World War, when the people from the Meir Yeshiva were running for their lives, so they traveled on the transcontinental railroad from Poland to Vladivostok, and then they went to Honolulu, then they went to Japan, then everyone went somewhere else. Some went to Honolulu, others went to Japan, different years. So it wasn't a chartered trip. They had non-Jews who were on the same trip as well, and it took over a week. So one of the Polish non-Jews who was on that train published his memoirs in Polish, and they translated a section of the memoirs into English, where he writes about these Jewish people. It was obvious that they were Jewish. They had beards, and they were talking Yiddish and everything. So he didn't know what was going on. The guy writes, when they had these big books open, they were screaming at each other. Obviously, these were Gemaras. So someone said Ipshat, and the other one was arguing. No, idiot, poyer, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, when the big books were open, you got the impression as if they hated each other. Then when the big books were closed, they were the best of friends. So he couldn't understand what was going on. This is exactly what the Gemara describes. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Parshas Balak. Haken yomer b'seifim l'chamas Hashem esvehe b'sufo, ben sanachol ar-arnon, etc. So the Gemara says, Alken yomer b'seifim l'chamas Hashem, that when you're learning, the children are supposed to have respect for their parents, and the Talmud is supposed to have respect for the Rebbe, but when in the middle of learning, you can't have so much respect. The Talmud asks the Kasha, and he has to ask with a little chutzpah. He's going to be very dainty. Heilige Rebbe, Shlita, I want to ask Kasha. It's not going to work. He has to ask. That doesn't make any sense. You just said before the Rambam said this, and you're contradicting each other. You have to ask with chutzpah. Like the Rebbe always asks. He does know what he's talking about. That's how you have to ask. And when the son is learning with his father, you can't be so dainty. You have to be a little, if there's something that doesn't make sense, so the son has to ask with chutzpah, like the Chassam Sefer disagreed with the Elta Zeta. Wrong is wrong, so he disagreed. And then the Gemara says, when the big books are open, there's disrespect. As if they're enemies to each other. That's called Melchamas Hashem. There's a Melchamta Shalterah. They're fighting. When the books are closed, then it says, Eswahei Besufo. Besofa Dover, after they finish learning, after they close the Svarim, Esvahei represents Ahava. Then they show their love. The child and the Talmud shows the love for the Rebbe and the love for their parents and they respect the parents. The Gemara talks about the Gemara in the third Perek in Moedkot, in Perek Elam Megalchen, quotes a pasuk from Sefer Shmuel. So the simple reading of the pasuk is that it's listing off the names of the generals who were in David HaMelech's army. Elish Mos HaGibar Masher LeDavid. And it has a whole list of names. So the Gemara says that's the Pshuta Shomikra. Then an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk is Eilish Mos Giboros of Shal David. That this Pasuk is describing the greatness of David. So one of the names of the generals there is I think Odenu Ho'etzni. Got to look it up again in Shmuel. I think it's Odenu Ho'etzni. So it's someone's name. So the Gemara says an additional level of interpretation is that it's Shmos Givorosav Shel David. This describes the heroic greatness of David HaMelech, that when he would be learning Torah, he would be Ma'adin Atzma Kitoy Las. And when he would go out to fight the battle, he would be Maksha Atzma Kaitz. Odenu is Ma'adin Atzma. He would be very, very smooth. When he would go to battle, he would be very vicious. He would shoot to kill. He's fighting a war. When he would be learning, he would have a different style. When people learn, they have to have one style, and when they in life, they have to have a different style. You have to be able to switch over from one style to the other. It's interesting because of the Torah member quotes one of the Achrayim who gives a suggestion that why is it that women are potter from Talmud Torah? Women are only mechuyev in the Talmud Torah. That's lilmad amanas lasos as a hechshem mitzvah. If they won't learn the laws of taras and mishpacha, they won't learn the laws of kashrus, the laws of Shabbos. They're in charge of the kitchen. They're in charge of the taras hamishpacha, and they usually take care of that. Most of the shadows of Shabbos happen in the kitchen, so they have to know all this dinim. If they won't know the dinim, so they won't be able to observe the mitzvah. So they're only mechuyev to know halacha lemaisa. They're not mechuyev to learn pilpulo shel Torah. The Torah Tmeima quotes one of the Sfardish Achrayim who makes a suggestion that why are women potter? The Gemara learns out from the pasuk lamadat mosav is b'nechem v'lo b'nesechem, that the women are potter from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So one of these Achrayim suggests that the reason why is because the Gemara says on the first daf in Kiddushin that you don't draft women into the army. Noshim la benois mevid melchama nino. So over here also, when you learn Torah, if you're just learning halacha lemaisa, you can be very dainty about it. Just learn the pesukim. But if you're learning the ins and the outs of the halacha, so you have to wage war and has to be melchamta shel Torah. So that's not nice for women. Just like we don't draft women into the army, so too we wouldn't want to draft the women into the melchamta shel Torah. The Stipler points out that a lot of people make a mistake. They think that learning is only for the brilliant geniuses who are very bright. It's like graduate studies. No, you go to a graduate school, you have to have a certain degree of brightness to follow what's going on. So he says, he points out it's not so. He quotes from the Chutam Shulosh, from that sefer that has the biography of the, this is under the biography of the Chassam Sefer also, that the Chassam Sefer had a yeshiva, and they had Talmidim from all over would come to apply there to the yeshiva. So one Talmid came, he was very, very shvach, had a shvach cup, had very weak background, and he wasn't so talented, and he had a bad memory. And he wanted to join the yeshiva. So Chassam Sefer saw that he was such a shvach guy, he wouldn't be able to learn on his own. So he required of every bocher in the yeshiva that each one has to donate a half an hour of his time once a week to learn with this kid. So this Talmud learned a half an hour with him, the other Talmud learned a half an hour. Each one donated half an hour. And the guy picked up knowledge. He picked up knowledge in Gemara. He learned Yeridei. He got smicha, became a rabbi in Hungary. And the Chassam Sefer has some of the tshuvas was sent to this guy. You don't have to be the world's biggest genius. You don't have to be a genius to serve in the rabbinate and to paskin shalas properly. If you work hard enough, you can figure out. We're not talking about a moron. He wasn't a genius, though. So the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is for everyone, even if one is not a genius. A lot of people make a mistake. The Stipler writes about that. They think that one is only success. How do you define success in learning Torah? So some people only consider themselves successful if they can ask a murderous kasha, if they can stump the Rebbe. Or if Rabbi Kivega has a kasha on the side of the Gemara and he writes Hashem Yoirenai and they give a teretz. So the mamash, that's a divinity. Hashem Yoirenai. I figured out the answer that only God is supposed to know the answer. So the Stipler writes, he thinks that's one aspect of success in learning. But the main aspect, the main definition of success in learning is really you have to know what does it say in Chumash and what did the Tanoim say? How did they derive it from the Chumash? What does Rav Meir say? What does Rav Yudah say? What does Abayi say? What does Rabbi say about the Machlekes? How does Rashi read? How does Tosfos read? Once you got all the facts straight, so that's success in learning. To be able to ask a good kasha, a sharp kasha, to be able to give a sharp answer, this is the icing on top of the cake. But the meal is a good, healthy meal without the whole cake. You don't even need the cake. You don't need the icing on top of the cake. That's not the main thing of learning Torah, is not to come up with Chidush Torah. The main thing is in order to know. You know what it says in the Chumash. You know what the Torah Shebaal Peh has to add. And you know what the machlekes amoraim is, how to read the Mishnah. You know what the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos is. Some people, when they learn, everything is all garbled. This is what the Stipler writes in his Sefer. Chai Yoylam has a beautiful Sefer. He has one section about learning Torah. So some people, when they learn, everything is like a forest, everything is up, but they can't make out heads or tails. So that means that they don't understand learning. But let's say if a person knows what it says in the Chumash, he knows what the Mishnah added on, he knows what the Gemara says on the Mishnah, he knows Rashi and Tosfos, he knows. But he doesn't understand what motivated Abai to disagree with Rav, and what motivated Rav Meir. He doesn't understand what's behind the scenes. Okay, so as long as he knows what the facts are, so he's at the first level of learning. That's success in learning. That's the further step. A person, if he knows what he knows, and he knows what he doesn't know, he knows exactly what he doesn't know. So that's also success in learning. A person shouldn't give up learning just because he doesn't, there are people who learn in the yeshivas now in America. I don't think it happens so much in YU and in the other yeshivas. So they're so used to hearing Rav Baruch Ber, Rav Shimon Shkop, and Rav Naftali, and all the heavy-duty artillery. So when they leave the yeshiva, and they can't learn Rav Shimon's and Rav Naftali's and Rav Baruch Ber, so they don't even learn Gemara at all. It's not shaykh what to learn Gemara without Rav Shimon Shkop is not considered learning. That's a mistake. When you learn Tanakh, that's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. When you learn Mishnayis with the Bar Tanur, it's also a big mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's nothing wrong with learning Mishnayis. When you learn Gemara with Rashi, it's also a wonderful thing. You learn Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos, and you didn't see Rav Baruch Ber. You can live without Rav Baruch Ber also. That's marvelous to know what Rav Baruch Ber has to say also. That's wonderful. But to think that one is not in fulfillment in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, unless he knows everything to the nth degree, that's a big mistake that causes a lot of bittul Torah. A lot of people later in life, when they leave the yeshiva and they go into business or whatever, so they don't open up a sefer because they feel, it was talked into them. They were convinced that if you don't learn on the highest level, you're not learning at all. That's not right. How many mitzvahs are there in Talmud Torah? Did it see in one place in this commentary on Chumash, writes about this in the Hercha Dover, in the footnotes on the bottom of the page. He says the Rambam has a very unusual opinion. The Rambam writes there's only one mitzvah, and the mitzvah is lelamed Torah lachem, to teach Torah to other people. The mitzvah that I should learn, that's in order to be able to transmit Torah. But the main mitzvah is lelamed Torah lachem. We usually assume not so. We usually assume, he quotes other Rishonim, say we count in the minyan on mitzvahs two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah is lilmod, one mitzvah is lelamed. Lilmod is one mitzvah, lelamed is to transmit the Torah to others. Two distinct mitzvahs. Not that lilmud is only in order to enable me to be melamed lacher. There's a mitzvah lilmud, a mitzvah lalamed, to teach Torah to others. But Moshe Feinstein has a very interesting comment in the Hakdama to his Sefer Dibros Moshe on his shiurim on Gemara. All the years he was the Rosh Hashim and Tver Yerushalayim, he didn't have so many outstanding talmidim over there. Yeah, a lot of times, Shvachet Talmidim, a lot of times they didn't understand what in the world he was talking about. And he gave the highest shiur. He gave a shiur on the highest level. And a lot of times his students didn't understand one word. So he writes in the introduction that everyone has a chiv l'lamed Torah l'achem to the maximum number of students. Not just, I have a shiur, I have 5 students, I'm happy. I have 20 students, I'm happy. If you have the ability to transmit Torah to hundreds of students, you only teach 5, so then you're not fulfilling this mitzvah of l'lamed Torah l'acherim the way you should. Everyone has an obligation, l'lamed Torah l'acherim, to the maximum. So he writes, this is what motivated him to publish his chidushim, because he hardly has anybody, he doesn't have anybody in MTJ who knows what he's talking about. He says he has a few students there, Nebuch, the goyim, such a great goyim, hardly anyone understood him. So he feels if he's going to publish the chidushim, he'll have more students, and that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah l'lamed Torah l'achem. He quotes Gemara in Tmura. I think in the second parak in Tmura, there was a biblical figure in Sefer Shoftim by the name of Yavetz. Rav David Cohen Shul is called Gvul Yavetz. So it's based on this pasuk in Shoftim and based on the Gemara in Tmura. So the simple reading of the pasuk is he wanted to have more share in Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to have more real estate than Eretz. So the Hebesa is Gvuli. So the Gemara says that's not what it means. He wasn't interested. Where's he going to get more karka? He got birusha from his father. Wherever he gets birusha, the basic gvul be talmidim. The gvul yavetz means he wanted to have more talmidim. So Rav Moshe raises the question, what did he want more Talmidim? He's being Malamed now. He has a few Talmidim. So he's doing Lilmed, he's doing Lamed. So you see from that Gemara that everyone has an obligation to be Malamed to the maximum, not just Lalamed Torah L'Acherim a little bit. The Netziv quotes that some Rishonim hold that there are four parts to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, not only Lilmed Lamed. That's what I would have said, Lilmed Lamed, two mitzvahs. The Rambam is a chiddush. Rambam holds that the Ikka mitzvah is really lalamen, and lilmen is only a chelek of. Mitzvah is really to transmit the Yiddishkeit to the next generation, to transmit the masorah to the next generation. I would have said lilmen lalamen, two different mitzvahs. So he quotes, and it's in quotes, that some Rishonim quote that there are four parts to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, lilmen lalamen lishma v'lasos. So what is lishma v'lasos? Lilmen lalamen is obvious what it means. So lishmar, he explains, based on the psukim in Mishlei, and psukim in Chumash, the way the Gemara interprets that kisishmerim bevitnecho, psukim in Mishlei, sishmerim means to review, to chazer. A lot of times people enjoy learning, but they don't enjoy chazering because they know more or less what it says. They want to have the excitement of learning something new. So the Gemara emphasizes a lot the significance of chazor. So the Netziv thinks that that's what those Rishonim say, that there are four different parts to the mitzvah. Lishmar, we usually translate in the Nusach of the Bracha, we say, Lul Malam Lishmar V'las. Lishmar means to observe the mitzvahs, to not to violate the Averis. Yishamim Pen V'alaz Eloi Seseh. And Lasas means to observe the mitzvahs Seseh. So we say, Lul Malam in the two parts, the Talmud Torah. Lishmar V'lasas means the learning Torah will lead up to observance of the Lavin and observance of the Yesin. But he quotes some Rishonim say there are four parts to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What are the two additional parts of Lishma V'lasas? So he said, Lishma means Techaza. Special mitzvah techaza. And what is lasos? So he says in Lithuania, when a bacha would say shtigol Torah, chiddush, that was called in Yiddish, tzemachen Torah. So he wants to translate lasos, means to be mechadish. It's a mitzvah, every person should try to be mechadish something and learning. That min al-shamayim, they see to it that they give everybody a chelek in Torah. That's the tefillah that we cite at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei all the time. Yiratzon Shebonim Mitzvah Menesech Hakenim Sar Secha. Everybody has a chelek in Torah. Everybody has his chelek. He's the only one who is given this chelek Men Hashamayim. So lasos, the Netziv interprets, means that I should. Every person has an obligation to be mechadish whatever his insight is. A lot of balabatim have very beautiful insights into mitzvahs, into Sukkim in the Torah, that the big Rabbanim, that the Mefarsh Machumash don't have, that the Rishayim Achranim don't have. That's the way he interprets. It's interesting, whenever you have a mitzvah, Stipel has an essay about this, on Brochus, I think. Whenever you have a mitzvah and it's unclear how often the mitzvah has to be observed, like Duchening, it says the Kohanim have to recite Yirech Hashem Yishmerech B'yuchas Kohanim when we request of them. Amor Lehem. When the Yisraelim request the bracha, then the Kohanim are obligated to give them the bracha. So the Kohen can go to the Hashkama minion, and then the next minion, they have 20 minion. Every minion will say, please stay, we want to hear a bracha from you. So the guy never get to work. He has to stand there all day long and to duchen li'olam void. So the Gemara says, once he duchens once a day every day, he's not mukhiv to duchen a second time in a day. If they're going to daven shachris and musaf, so then the Mishnah has Zman HaTanam used to duchen Shachris and Musaf every on Shabbos and Yontif. So then with the Rabbanon, he's mukhiv to duchen twice, Shachris and Musaf. Menatar is not. But let's say the meaning in most places is that you only duchen on Musaf and Yamim Tavim. So let's say he duchen Musaf in one minion, and then there's another minion where they don't have any Kohanim. So they ask him to do them a favor to please come over and duchen there. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, he's not mukhiv, not Menatar, not with the Rabbanon. There's even a machlekes in the Magen Avram. Can he say the bracha shekadoshon b'kedushas shalarein when he duchens the second time? Because he's not mechuyev, not min haTorah, not mid rabban. If he duchens shachris and mincha, some of the rabban for the same minyan, some of the rabban is mechuyev to duchen shachris and musaf. But to duchen musaf here and then musaf by another minyan, he's not even mechuyev in the rabban. So that's, but he has a kiyum mitzvah. So that's a machlekes achreinim that the Magen Avram quotes. Can he recite the bracha or not? The common practice is that yes. Because the only Rishon who talks about the topic is the Meiri, and the Meiri interprets HaGemara, that even if he duchens to two different minyanim on the same day, the Meiri interprets HaGemara says that you say a bracha in such a case. So just like the Gemara says that duchening you're only obligated once a day every day, so this apparently led the Rambam to understand that the Chiyuv Tefillah is once a day every day. The Rambam starts off Hilchas Tefillah What is the obligation min haTorah, and then what did they change min the Rabbanim? What did they institute min the Rabbanim? The Gemara always says that tefillah is the Rabbanim. So the Rambam says tefillah min the Rabbanim means the obligation to daven 3 times a day, or 4 times a day, or 5 times a day. On Yom Kippur, you say Ne'ilah and Musaf, daven 5 times a day. But the obligation to daven what's it every day, the Rambam holds that that's min haTorah. The Gemara says in the first daf in Tainus, "La'avda b'chol avavchem, avodah shebelev is tefillah." So the Rambam writes the nusach hatefillah. That's when the rabbanon, the minyan hatefillahs, the fact that you daven more than once a day. That's when the rabbanon. But the etzim principle, to daven once a day, every day, nochach hamigdosh. He throws that in too, facing the Beis Hamigdosh. That the Rambam writes that that's part of the din deraisa. You have to daven once a day, every day, facing the Beis Hamigdosh. That's the chayvas tefillah menater. Where did the Rambam get this idea from? Once a day, every day. So the stipler says he must have gotten it from our Gemara. The Gemara says by duchening, that the Kohanim are only in the Chumash. It's unclear how often is the Kohen mechuyev to duchen. It says upon request, when the tzibah requests of him that they want a bracha. So the Gemara says only once a day, every day. So the Rambam must have extrapolated from that Gemara that that's the cloud. Whenever you have a mitzvah and it's unclear from the Chumash how often you have to observe the mitzvah, it's self understood that it's once a day, every day. So the same would have been true by Talmud Torah also. If you wouldn't have had any psukim in Navi over and above what it says in the Chumash, that it says you have to learn Torah, you might have thought once a day, every day is enough. Hashmek Tabik, once a day, every day. So we have a pasuk in Yehoshua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Yehoshua ben Nun v'hagisa bo yomim v'loilo. So based on that pasuk, we change our understanding of the pasuk in Chumash, that it's not enough once a day, every day. So what does it mean? So the simple pshat in the pasuk is v'gis v'yom v'loyla, once a day, every day, and once a night, every night. You have to have a kviyas itim la Torah. If we wouldn't have had the pasuk in Yeshua, we would have said once a day, every day, for 2 minutes. You learn asif in the kitzur shulchan aruch, once a day, every day, and you yotze. So now that you have a pasuk in Yeshua, v'gis v'yom v'loyla, that means once a day, every day, and once a night, every night. That would have been the pasuk pshat. The Gemara understands something more than that, though, that the pasuk v'agisa v'yama v'alayla sounds like it's telling me you should learn all day and all night. Not to be taken literally, that's out of the question. People have to make a parnasa, they have to go to sleep, they have to lead a normal life. But to learn b'hasmada, the mashmos of the phrase v'agisa v'yama means to learn b'hasmada. So what's taka the definition of hasmada? Where do we have a din deraisa that has to be fulfilled b'hasmada? So the Gemara Menachos has a whole perek with perek Shteilechem, where they talk about the Shteilechem was brought on Shavuos, and in the middle of perek Shteilechem they talk about the Lechem Aponim also. Mishnah Lechem Aponim was put on the Shulchan. It was baked every Friday, unless Friday falls out on Yom Tov, then it was baked on Thursday, and then they would put the Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan on Shabbos morning, and then it would sit there till next Shabbos morning, then they would switch, put on the new Lechem Aponim. So the pasuk uses the word Tomid, Lechem Aponim Lefanai Tomid. The Lechem Aponim has to be there behasmada. So the Gemara says there's a comparison over here. Just like Lechem Aponim has to be on the Shulchan behasmada, bitmidius, so too, v'agis v'yom v'loyla, sounds like we require learning behasmada. So the Gemara says that there is a machlokes hatanaim. What's the definition of hasmada by Lechem Aponim? So one Tana is of the opinion that when they took off the Lechem Aponim Shabbos morning, they had a set of Kohanim taking off the Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan, and had another set of Kohanim placing the new Lechem Aponim as the first set of Kohanim. We're removing last week's Lechem Aponim, the new set of Kohanim putting on the new Lechem Aponim, so that the Shulchan wouldn't be sitting for half a minute without any Lechem Aponim. Because it says Tamid. Tamid is to be understood literally. Behasmada b'tmidius. And the other Tana says in the Mishnah, Nishgefelach. It means with regularity, even if you take off the old Lechem Aponim Shabbos in the morning, you put on this week's Lechem Aponim Shabbos late in the afternoon, half an hour before the Shkia, that's also called Tamid, as long as you didn't miss a whole day. So the Gemara says, similar to this, Machlekes Satanaim, how do you define Hasmada? By the Lechem Aponim, Lechem Aponim Lefanai Samid, there would be a Machlekes Satanaim by Talmud Torah. The Pasuk in Yeshua says, Vagis Vayom Valaylam. Without the pasuk, I would have said once a day, every day, you learn a sefer in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch for 2 minutes and you yotze. Now the pasuk tells me you have to learn a little bit by yom, a little bit by laila. So the Rambam writes, Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah. So he divided the Mishnah Torah into 14 svarim. Mada, havas, manim, and so on. Ben Gurion once visited the yeshiva, and he told Rav Soloveitchik, he heard that Rav Soloveitchik likes to study Rambam. So he said, he read all the 14 Sfarim of Rambam, doesn't say anything special there. No. Interesting comment. Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that comment. So one of the Sfarim of the Rambam is Sefer Ahava. And the Rambam in the Hagdama explains what the titles of every Sefer mean. So he says, he quotes a pasuk, "Be'ahava sa tishge tamid," that ahava is a term that applies to mitzvahs. When a man is in love, the Rambam writes, when a man is madly in love with his wife, so he's always dreaming about the wife, he's always thinking about the wife, he's obsessed with love. So we're supposed to be obsessed with the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that it leads us to fulfill mitzvahs on a constant basis. We're doing things all the time. So the Rambam says that those mitzvahs that you do, you shake a lulav once a day and that's it. So that doesn't belong in Sefer Ahava. Ahava, you have to have those mitzvahs like davening. We only daven once a day, every day, Menat Torah, the Rabbana three times a day, but the Gemara has a famous expression, Halavai Shiz Pal Adam Kol Hayom Kuloi. So the idea behind tefillah is that you should really daven all day long. And Limud HaTorah also should be, one should learn Bahasmada. B'hagisa b'yom v'layla. Learning should be Bahasmada. Yerushalmi quotes the Tana, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is saying that the Rabbanu Shel Olam should have really created every person with two mouths. One mouth should be learning Torah all day and all night, and the other mouth would deal in business. We really have the obligation to learn Torah all day and all night. So the Rambam understands that that's because learning Torah is a chelik of Yahavtos Hashem Alokecha. That's how we say in Kriya Shema. Yahavtos Hashem Alokecha b'chol levav b'chol nafsh b'chol yemedecha b'chol yivad v'armi al shanech v'tzav chayom al avavecha. The Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, from the Tanoim. How does one develop Avas Hashem? By learning Torah. So because Limud HaTorah is supposed to be a form of developing Avas Hashem, so whatever is in Sefer Ahava, Rambam said that's supposed to be a mitzvah that you do b'tadirius all the time. The Rambam puts in Sefer Ahava the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, Hilchas Kriya Shema, because we have to recite Kriya Shema b'shachbecha u'v'kumecha. Also, you only recite Kriya Shema twice a day, but it's considered as if it's with us all day and all night. The twice a day represents all day and all night. So this is so the Gemara has like this. All the Tanaim agree that there's the basic minimum would have been, if you wouldn't have had the pasuk in Yeshua, the obligation of learning Torah would have been once a day, every day, for 2 minutes to learn a kitzah, a sif and a kitzah shulchan aruch. Now I have the pasuk in Yeshua says I need more than that. So how much more? So another 2 minutes. 2 minutes in the daytime, 2 minutes in the nighttime. So that everyone agrees. There's an obligation of kviya sitam la Torah, a little bit every day and a little bit every night. And that is a machlekes hatarim. The idea of a little bit in the day, a little bit in the nighttime is like kriya shema, a little bit in the day, a little bit in the night. It's like davening. We daven three times a day, but it represents the idea as if we're davening all day and all night, as if we're learning all day and all night, as if we're reciting Kriya Shema Mekabalah Malchus Shamayim all day and all night. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. Would we really require that if a person has time, is taka muchiv to learn every free minute that he has or not? So the Gemara says the same machlekes hatanoim that appears in the Mishnah in Perek Shtei Alechem regarding the Lechem upon him. Do you have to have lechem upon him on the shulchan every single minute? You shouldn't leave the shulchan even for half a minute without lechem upon him. Or do you say no? As long as the whole day doesn't go by without lechem upon him, so that's called lechem upon him lefanai tamid. So the Gemara carries over this machlekes by Talmud Torah. Do we really take the pasuk literally? B'hagisma yom aloyla. Every 3 minutes in a day you should learn Torah. Or no? As long as every day doesn't go by without a little bit of learning. Every night doesn't go by without a little bit of learning. So that's considered as if you did it bitmidius, like the Kriya Shema and like the davening. So the Gemara has that samachleikus hatanoim. And the Rambam, they talk about it. Most of the Rishonim Paskin, that you're not nuchiv to learn b'hasmod. You just learn a little bit in the daytime, a little bit at nighttime, and then yotze the mitzvah deraisa. Of course, a person will not become a big lamdan if he's just going to learn 2 minutes of kitzur shulchan aruch in the morning and a kitzur shulchan aruch after ma'ariv. He'll remain the same amoritz as he was before. If a person wants to become a talmid chacham, differently. But is he mechuyev? Is he mechuyev to learn all of that every 3 minutes? So that's a machlekes hatanoim and a machlekes rishonim. Most of the rishonim paskin lehokel. You're not mechuyev to learn all day and all night. The Chidor quotes that there's a minority opinion in rishonim who paskin Just like by the Lechem Aponim, the Rambam writes that they left the Lechem Aponim all day long. When the Shabbos morning, when they would switch the Lechem Aponim, so the Rambam writes, Tivcha shel zeh b'tzad tivcha shel zeh. Their fists, the tvachim of the Kohanim, the fists of the Kohanim who were taking off the old Lechem Aponim, would be touching the fists of the Kohanim who were putting on the new Lechem Aponim, that the Shulchan shouldn't be empty for a minute without Lechem Aponim. That's what the Lechem Mishneh is. Isn't it a contradiction in the Rambam? By the Gemara put together the issue by Lechem Aponim and by Hasmada by Talmud Torah. And the Rambam by Lechem Aponim writes that the practice was that Tivcha Shel Zeh B'Tzad Tivcha Shel Zeh, their hands were touching the set of Kohanim were taking off the old Lechem Aponim, their fists were touching the fists of the Kohanim putting on the new Lechem Aponim. So the Rambam sounds like he's paskining that the word Talmud means literal mamish every minute. So you should have paskin by Talmud Torah that you have to learn all day and all night, every 3 minutes. That's what they ask Akasha, Stira and Rama. And they discussed that Kasha. I never really understood fully why it's Stira and Rama. Rama just, he's recording what the Mishnah says. That was the practice in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it wasn't necessary. Maybe it would have been in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Lechem Aponim. Even if they would take off the old Lechem Aponim in the morning, they put on the new one in the afternoon. Rama's just describing the practice was like that. But the standard, Noisei Kelim and Rama consider that Stira and Rama. And they work on that kasha. Many years ago, there was a young man who was brought up in Frankfurt by the name of Shimon Schwab. And he learned in Telzer Yeshiva, he learned in the Mir Yeshiva, and then his parents were big Hasidim of Rabbi Hirsch. They used to daven by Rabbi Hirsch, then Rabbi Hirsch passed away, Rabbi Hirsch's son-in-law was the rabbi then. And they wanted him to go the route of all of the good followers of Rabbi Hirsch, you go to university. And he thought that that wasn't right. So he sent a shayla, he lived in Germany, in Frankfurt, he sent a shayla to many different rabbanim. So he sent, and they printed the letter. He sent a shayla to Chief Rabbi Cook, Zuchana L'Racha. So that letter they just printed last year. He sent approximately the same letter to all the different rabbanim. We only have the responses that they wrote. Interesting. So he sent a shout out to the Ragachov and he sent it to Rabbi Baruch Be'er and to Rabbi Hanav Wasserman and sent it to all Chassidish Rebbes. So all Chassidish Rebbes answered, Pe'achad, your parents are religious Balabatim, that's the Minigah in Frankfurt, so follow in the footsteps of your parents and you'll be successful in life. Go to university. And he didn't listen because the Rosh Yeshiva sent the letter. You're not allowed to listen to your parents. Not allowed to go to university. So that's the famous essay that Rabbi Baruch Be'er has in the end of the Sefer on Kiddushin, the Berachah Shmona Kiddushin, and Rabbi Chanan Asma has also, Tshuva the Shol me Medina Yidua. The Medina Yidua was Germany, and the Shol was Rabbi Schwab, who later was a student of Rabbi Breuer in Frankfurt, and then later on he was here in America, and he was the assistant rabbi to Rabbi Breuer for many years, and Rabbi Breuer passed away, so he took over the Rabbanus here. So the Tshuva that Rabbi Baruch Be'er has, a very interesting Tshuva, that the Shaila that Rabbi Schwab asked him, and he develops an idea based on the Bi'ur Agra on Mishnayis, the beginning of Pei Eladram Shein Lamshir. Talmud Torah is one of the things Shein Lamshir. So he points out from the Bi'ur Agra, if you learn one sentence of Torah, you learn 1 minute of Torah, there's already a kiyum of Talmud Torah. But those Rishonim who paskan like the Tanoim, the minority opinion, quoted by the Chidah, by the Birki Yosef, who paskan like the Tanoim, that you really mechuyev to learn all day and all night. So how does a person have the right to be Oisik and Parnasa? Parnasa is such a big mitzvah that it's doicha the mitzvah chashuva of Talmud Torah. So Rabbi Baruch Be'er explains it's not that Parnasa is such a big mitzvah. Based on the Bi'ur Agro and Mishnah is Peya, he explains the chi of Talmud Torah is to learn every 3 minute of the day. The time that you're busy eating and sleeping and making a Parnasa and talking to your wife, so that's not free time. Every 3 minute of the day that you have, you're mechuyev to learn. And he explains that's why the Yerushalmi has a famous din. It really says in the Bavli also, but everybody quotes it. More explicit than the Yerushalmi, that ha'isik b'mitzvah patam and ha'mitzvah only applies to all other mitzvahs aside from Talmud Torah. If a person is busy learning, so he can't say, well, I don't have to daven mincha today, and I don't have to shake a lulav, and I don't have to say halal, and I don't have to eat matzah and morah, I'm busy learning. Ha'isik b'mitzvah patam and ha'mitzvah. Ha'isik mitzvah only applies to every other mitzvah aside from Talmud Torah. Why? Because the chi of Talmud Torah only sets in when you have free time. So what do you mean? Now you're mechuyev to shake a lulav. Now you're mechuyev to daven mincha. So there's no chi of to learn Talmud Torah. Mitzvah Talmud Torah is only when you have free time. He explains a lot of things with that. The Gemara Kiddushin has a principle that...
Before you go on, you mentioned about the Rambam Sefer Ahava, and he includes those things that are common, that's included in that Sefer.
Right, he writes in the introduction that that's what that section is going to deal with.
So
mitzvah
why is
Kamen
Torah not in Ahava?
I guess it has to do with Mada, with a lot to do with thinking. But he says... Limud HaTorah is a form of Avas Hashem. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha v'samtam es dvar ha'yela. But he chose to put it in the other section because it has to do with matter, it has to do with thinking also. The Gemara Kiddushin has a famous din, Liyol Mishalosh Adam Shnoisav Shlish B'mikro, Shlish B'mishneh, and Shlish B'talmud. A person should divide his day into three parts. So this is a fundamental machlokes, the Gaonim and the Rambam, what this means. So the Gaonim quoted by Tosfos in Kiddushin, the Gaonim are of the opinion that there is a mitzvah of Kviya Sitim La Torah. Once you have the pasuk in Yeshua, so it says Vagisva Yom V'Lad, so you have to learn a little bit every day and a little bit every night. Not for that pasuk, I would have thought once a day is enough, once a day every day. The pasuk tells me that I have to have once a day and once a night. So the Gaonim are of the opinion that this chiyuv kviyas itim la Torah has three parts to it. Every day and every night you have to spend a little time. It's not enough one sif in the kitzur shulchan aruch. You have to read one pasuk in Tanakh and one din halacha l'maisif in the kitzur shulchan aruch and one line in the Gemara. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. Shlish b'mikra means something Tanakh. Mishnah means halacha l'maisif, halacha psuka, and talmud means to know the ins and the outs of learning. So the Gaonim say that's why the Gaonim instituted that when we recite Birchas HaTorah in the morning, we say Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha, Yor Hashem Panam Elecha Mechonak. We say a couple of psukim from the Chumash, then we say the psukim of the Korban Tamid, and we yotze shlish b'mikra with that. Then we recite Mishnayis Hazel Mekayman, we yotze shlish b'mishnah. Then we say the Brayso of Rabbi Shmuel Amar B'shlosh Hatzimis HaTorah and Resh Espem, and we yotze the shlish b'talmud. That doesn't tell you any ins and outs. It tells you the way to derive ins and outs. Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nisman. Then the rest of the day you can learn whatever you want. The rest of the day, the Gaonim understand that there's no need to divide in three parts. If you enjoy Tanakh, learn all day Tanakh. You enjoy Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, learn Kitzur all day long. Enjoy Mishnah Berurah, you enjoy learning Gemara, do whatever you want. It's not a din that your learning should be divided into three parts. I think the Gaonim think you have to have once a day and once a night. You have to have shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud every day and every night.
So why isn't it
part? Very good question. I don't know. I'll suggest an answer in a minute. I'm not going to go too much longer. The Rambam clearly disagrees. When the Rambam quotes the din of shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud, he thinks that what it means is not to af yotze to zayin, ashmek tabik of A, B, and C, and then you can spend the rest of the day learning whatever you want. Rambam says the learning should be balanced. Your knowledge should be equal in all areas. You shouldn't be a big baki and know all the dinim, and you hardly know any Tanakh. You should grow in Tanakh at the same rate that you're growing in halacha psuka, mishnayis, halacha lemais, and the same rate that you're growing in Gemara, in pilpul, and understanding. Then the Rambam says you will ultimately reach a certain age that you already have, all of your learning is balanced, and that's as far as you're going to go. You're not going to advance anymore. So then he says it's enough if you just review Chumash, and when you review Chumash, you'll understand everything else. The Rambam understands the nature of the mitzvah of Shlish B'mikra, Shlish B'mishnah, Shlish B'talmud, that the learning should be balanced. Yeah, and the Gaonim say not so. Rabbi Natam comments on the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the second parak, the Gemara in the third parak. Why do we call it Talmud Bavli? So the simple answer, because it was composed in Bavel, as opposed to Talmud Yerushalmi, which is composed in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara has an additional interpretation, additional explanation. Why is it called Talmud Bavli? The word Bavli comes from the word Blula, because the Talmud is Blula, B'mikra, B'mishneh, U'B'Talmud. It has everything blended in. So the Rabbi Natam is quoted by the Tosfos as saying that we who study Talmud Bavli are a fulfillment of the din of this requirement, Shlish B'mikra, Shlish B'mishnah, Shlish B'talmud. L'chaver, the Rabbi Natam also doesn't agree with the Rambam. You're going to study Talmud Bavli, you're not going to know so much Tanakh, you're not going to know so much Halacha L'maisa. you'll have a smattering of Tanakh if you cover enough Talmud Bavli every day and every night. You'll cover enough that you will have had learned a little bit from Tanakh. The Gemara will always quote some sukkim or another. Some din or another will come out. Sometimes you just have a whole daf full of havaminis, no din at all. But the rabbi in the time probably couldn't imagine a guy's only going to learn an omid Gemara. He's going to learn more than a daf yomi. Some is going to learn, every hour he's going to learn a couple of blat Gemara. In Valojin, when Rav Kook learned in Valojin, he learned 60 blat a day. He wasn't the only one. There were other students of Valojin. He wasn't the top student. He was very good. The others are also learning. Rav Barakber also learned. He used to learn a lot every day. They didn't krich so slowly the way we do today. The Shia only covered one blot a day. The Shia covered a whole blot every day. The Netziv used to give a Shia 3 days a week. It was a period of time. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik gave the Shia three times a week, 3 days a week. So each one would finish a blot a day. The Netziv would cover three blot in the 3 days. Then Rav Chaim Soloveitchik would cover three dot. And then Shabbos they would do Chazara. Then the next week they would cover again six blot. Every Shia was on a whole blot Gemara. It wasn't the way we do today. We're not really following the tradition of Halacha. So this Rabbi Natam, who says that it's called Talmud Bavli because Belula b'Mikra b'Mishnah b'Gemara, he says that what it means is that you're in satisfaction. You are satisfying that requirement of Shlish b'Mikra, Shlish b'Mishnah, Shlish b'Talmud. He also seems to have a fairish like the Goinim. That it doesn't mean your knowledge should be balanced. There is no such requirement that your knowledge should be balanced. A guy learns, the people who learn Talmud Bavli, they have very poor knowledge of Tanakh and they have very poor knowledge of Halacha Psuka, but they know Talmud Bavli very well. So Rabbi Natam is not bothered by that. Rabbi Natam thinks like the Goyinim, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud means you have to have a Kriyas Sitam La Torah. Every day and every night you have to have a little bit. So you say, why don't we do it by Ma'ariv? I guess they assume after Ma'ariv, everyone's going to have a night Seder and they're going to learn a little Talmud Bavli. The Talmud Bavli, according to Rabbi Natam, satisfies this requirement. Okay, there's a lot more to discuss. This is just the tip of the iceberg. A good yant of everybody, learn up a storm.